Been really impressed with the boys and their attitude, the work ethic, everything about the first 2 weeks. I think it's been class. I think obviously Matt and his input into changing the facilities. We've got a chef on board who the food's been amazing. Yeah, everything about it's been really, really good. So really impressed. Obviously, we've got a lot of work to do, but the start of pre-season's been quality.
Hello, I'm Rob London, and welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, with Fiddler's Ferry about to be demolished, where are my two fossil-fueled podcasters? Firstly, he's a cooling tower of hot steam and as old as coal, but generating a wattage of statistics to heat every house south of the river, our rough-cut diamond, it's Sam!
Hello!
And also making a fiery entrance with a turbine of tackle bags that lays down enough bullshit to play havoc.
Jesus. That just about sums up tackle bags. Fucking do it again.
And also making a fiery entrance with a turbine of tackle bags that lays down enough bullshit to play havoc with the greenhouse effect. Yes, he's back and here to warm up the podcast past its tipping point. It's Dennis.
All right.
Well, it's good to have us all back, isn't it, lads? It's good to have us all back. How are you coping on your own, Sam? Just saying to Dennis what a wonderful job you've been doing before I played the music when you were on mute before. I said, what a wonderful, sterling job you're doing. How are you coping this week?
I've built four shelters. I've clubbed several seals with my bare hands. I've skinned them. I'm using them to keep warm. You know, it's all about survival.
Is it been a bit frosty this week? Alan London was on FaceTime last night and he was showing me a picture of the car and it was all covered in frost. His tennis was cancelled, so he wasn't happy.
Do you not think you need to clarify with the listener that, because the listener wasn't listening last week, that Sam's now living on his own?
Don't we know it?
How are you coping,
he's
Sam?
He's lonely,
How many
Dennis?
Bottles have you got there, eh? How many bottles are lined up now in that recycling? Have you got yourself an extra green bin?
Oh, no. I've had to go to the tip four times to throw everything away while the bin strike's on.
It's getting a bit heated, that bin strike, isn't it? I keep noticing that on social media. Yeah. Well, when was the last time you had your bins emptied?
October sometime.
Did you get a rebate?
Early October as well, I think it was.
What are you doing with it all? Where
I'm taking
it
to the tip. Yeah.
Well, you have loads of people. Surely there's loads of people north of the river not taking it to the tip. Where's all that going? Well,
yeah, exactly. I did hear that grey mist is now overflowing.
But must be rats everywhere.
Yeah, it's okay for most people, but I've got my mum and stepdad who can hardly drive. I've been emptying their bins, and I've got my in-laws. Who were both doddery and can't drive, so I'm emptying their bins as well.
My
little mini stinks.
Which skip are you going to?
This is great. How many people are switching off at this point? Which tip are you going to? Jesus Christ. Listen, the most important thing is, what about the bungalow bins? Is there any sign of any Warrington players, tipping, the rats there, or they all run off?
No, and I've still not been for a drive round Knutsford to see if I could spot Sammy. We'll come on to Sammy.
Is he
later.
Living in Knutsford because there's no bin strike there?
Probably. Probably.
How are you, Dennis? You're back?
Yeah.
Nice to see you.
All right, yeah.
I've
good
got
to be back.
Do you know, last night... the little one was looking at pictures, you know, from decades gone by. And there was a picture of me. I look very forlorn. It's 2012. I'm lying on the couch in my pyjamas and I've got this forlorn look on my face. And she said to me, what's wrong with you there? I said, oh, think that's the night Warrington played in the Challenge Cup final and I couldn't go. And then lo and behold, we swipe to the next picture and there's one of you with a couple of our mates. You're at Wembley. And the little one said, look how thin Dennis's face is.
Right. This is good, isn't it? Can you send me that photo? I think I might want to use that.
It'll just upset you. It'll upset you if you see what
shape
you were in.
I've got a new driving licence next month, so it'd be good to just put that on there, wouldn't it? Talking of which, I've seen... have you had to submit a photo for your season ticket, Sam?
No.
Oh. So what's the security level then for getting a season ticket?
Great poddy.
You have a card and you keep hold of the card and when you go in you blip it and it says whether it's a valid card
but
or not.
You have to not give your birth certificate or anything like that or like, you know, whatever. Life in the bungalow can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on Rodeo. It ain't like Rodeo. Oh,
they won't accept the pirates, Dennis.
Ah, okay, I see. Yeah. Is it not like Derek Beaumont's offering at Lee, where you get like nice gift box and you know a couple of things in there, like a curly whirly or anything like that from Cal Fitzpatrick? He must have, you know, ladened you with some gifts.
No, I got an email saying thank you very much for renewing. We much appreciate it. Your card's ready and available for pickup at the shop.
Oh, you have to go and pick it up. Fucking great. Yeah.
Well, you can do that.
Ass, put it in the post.
Do that on the way when you take the bins, I guess.
Hey, that's a good point, yeah.
Now, I was thinking of opening the lines up again tonight, boys, because that went so well last time.
Oh, fuck.
Have you got your ejector seat ready to go, Sam? When the first wave of porn comes in.
I'm a little more confident this time because it was just 2 weeks after I'd been hacked and I actually thought I was about to get a virus on my machine, and then I realised.
Was it you the culprit? Did you start that? Did you initiate it with your hacking 2 weeks previously?
Definitely not.
Did you
the thing is, he's been on his own for that long now that he's probably seen most of it anyway, Rob.
Dear. Well, we'll give it a go. I tell you what, though, just to see if we can sort of we can run with the audio tonight and get it right. I've got a little bit of a quiz for you.
Oh no!
So we'll give this a go and see what happens.
It's about sourdough in it.
No. Now, has anyone been watching the snooker? Has anyone been watching the snooker?
No.
The only thing I know about it is the fact that are they all complaining about the pockets?
Are they? Too the small, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Too big.
I don't think they applaud as loudly as they used to. So we're going to have a little game of guess the break. Okay, so I'm going to play you. I'm going to play you some applause just so you can check out the audio. This should come through your headphones. Okay. I want to know what the score was before the player misses. You'll hear the applause and then you'll... won't hear the score from the referee. I want to know who made the break.
Oh, bloody hell.
And what competition it was at. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so hopefully this comes through. Here we go.
You see how we've gone very quiet as though we're in the audience.
Oh, dear. Did you get that?
Yes.
Just got oh dear, and then a round of applause.
All right, that's all you get. That's all you're getting. I'll play it again. Okay, listen carefully. Okay, I mean the oh dear is probably a bit of a clue to what the break could be. It's clear. Won't say anymore. Oh dear. Sam, what are you thinking?
I think that was Whispering Ted Low, that. And so that would put it...
Oh, yes.
So that would put it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think it was Jimmy White missing in one of the finals that he lost, because he lost about 7 or 8, and he'd only scored 18.
Do you not think the shot sounded a bit soft for Jimmy White? Didn't put much cue behind it, did he?
That's a very good point. I think. See, you've got to think of these nuances. Now, you know, I was thinking, who was that taxi driver? Was it Joe Jordan or something?
Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson. I thought it was like a Joe Johnson shot, shot, like where somebody just shut in the door and like not quite getting it right.
Yeah.
So that's
or Terry Griffiths, maybe. Yeah.
Do you think, though, that the fact he went, oh dear, he'd kind of potted enough, but quite not enough to let his opponent back in to win the frame? I mean, you've gone 18 there. I'm thinking more like a weighty breaker 60, and he's just left enough on the table for his...
Never mind your thinking. You know what the answer is.
Sorry.
I know.
All right, well, come on. This is it, Sam. I need three things from you then. So, score, player, championship.
World Championship, Jimmy White, and 18.
Are you still alive, Dennis? Have you had a stroke? Or are you?
Sorry. What am I doing? Joe Johnson, a break of 59. And what's the other thing you need to know?
Championship. Which championship it was?
Oh, World Championship when he was there.
Well, don't think it sounds like a blue then, being missed possibly. Bit closer to
wasn't
home.
Doug Mount.
No, it's not Tony Meo yellow. Fuck off. Is it? I can see what's going to happen here.
Dear. Now, shall I give... you mentioned to me, Dennis, when I suggested this a few weeks ago that we should do this. You said, don't give the result until the end of the podcast so no one turns up.
That's right.
So should we do that? We'll leave it at that, shall
we? Yes, absolutely.
Right, good, really good. Okay, should we have some news?
Think we better add.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Thomas McAley has found himself a new club, with the ex-Wire prop securing a deal with the North Queensland Cowboys. McAley played 66 games for West Tigers in the NRL prior to signing for Warrington, but returned back to Australia on compassionate grounds after playing only 18 games. After securing only one start for the Gold Coast Titans, he then made his way back to Warrington on loan, seeing out the season playing an additional 7 matches. Do we need to do a sort of swingometer here on McAley or Musgrove? If we had a little bit of a pendulum at the moment, mine's pointing a lot more towards McAley, Sam. But as we said last week, we don't know yet. We don't know.
Correct. And McAley was undoubtedly, let's be fair, he's no Les Boyd, but he was undoubtedly a success in his time here.
Hmm.
And it would have been good to keep him. We don't know about Musgrove.
Musgrove, are you all right?
I was
going
to say...
What's going on?
For some reason, I wanted to say Musgrave.
What do you mean? Is he all right? You were staring into the abyss during the snooker, asked you the score.
I was concentrating, being quiet.
Dennis, you a Musgrove fan or a McAley fan?
You know what? I don't know anything about Musgrove. When you first mentioned it, you know the Taunton, the hospital there is called Musgrove. And I have nothing else on Musgrove. So have you talked about him on the previous podcast? I was listening to it, but then I had to turn it off because the cooker broke. So
thermostat.
The element shorted.
That's interesting.
Well, it's quite an easy replacement. It's only 3 screws.
Alan London can't go out at the moment because their boiler's boiling. Thermostat. So he can't go out. They were lucky.
So you have to turn it on, then turn it off, does he?
Yeah, constantly. He's in the kitchen every 5 minutes, turning it off and then turning it back on to keep the temperature at ease.
Just switch the bloody power board off when he goes out. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but then he's worried that it won't come back on. They won't have any. Anyway, the plumber's coming tomorrow, so he'll be all right. Monday.
What was the question? Anyway, what's this Zane? Can you just sum this Zane Musgrove up? Because I've not seen him play, to be honest.
I haven't seen him play.
I tell you what we do know. What we do know is last year when McKaylee went back, he didn't play at all for Gold Coast, did he? He only got into the squad once, I think, didn't he?
Played one game
or twice. And Musgrove didn't play much for St George, but he did make 11 appearances. So on the face of it, he is more experienced in the NRL over the last 12 months.
Every cloud.
Mm. Interesting. But what position will he be playing?
Prop, won't he? Is he a prop?
Is he?
Yeah, he's a prop.
I saw him on the pictures, and
he's quite lean. He's quite lean looking, yeah. But he's tall. Anyway,
what's his stats, Sam? Have you got some stats there handy?
I haven't got any stats. Has it? Nothing.
Well,
are you looking at? He's looking at porn again.
Yeah, I've got 11 appearances last year, one try. Overall, he also played 13 times in the NRL. Sorry, in the New South Wales Cup. Last year, 13 times.
Have you put the Christmas lights up, Sam?
Bit of a journey.
It looks like it, doesn't it? Yeah.
You put your Christmas. No, it's quite sad, isn't it? When you're living on your own and you put your Christmas lights up.
These are just my Nigella twinkles.
Jesus.
Right, so basically what we're saying is that we've got mediocre for mediocre, right? So that's that one put to bed.
No,
in NRL
I thought McKaylee was better than mediocre.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I thought he was good, McKaylee.
But can we say that we're drawing a par then in terms of stat from a stat point of view, Sam? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying on the face of it, St George and Gold Coast are both middle of the table teams in the NRL, and McKaylee couldn't get into the Gold Coast team last year, but Musgrove did get into St George's team.
All right, okay.
Would we be happy, a bit like, you know, game of pontoon, if you were offered now, Sam, Musgrove would be as good as what McKaylee had been for us? Would you stick with that? Would you be happy with that? Or do you want him to, you would. Dennis, would you stick with that if he was as good as
I'd like him to be McKaylee? Better, but.
No,
I'd like
but
him
to be twist. Better, but you'd twist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, get it in there. What am I twisting for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. The Warrington squad are coming back together and have been seen out jogging with new coach Sam Burgess running alongside his team. And they even managed a tune.
I'm lying in my bed. I'm running through my head. And I feel the love is dead. I'm loving angels instead. And through it all, she offers me protection.
See, you had been a bit of a Robbie Williams fan, Sam. I could imagine Angels was on your playlist, back in the day.
Robbie's early stuff, not after he split with Guy Chambers, his songs weren't as strong.
Look at that for in-depth knowledge there, Dennis.
I know. He's watched the recent Netflix movie.
No, I've not seen it. Not seen it. He gets on my nerves. Okay.
Well, talking of Zane Musgrove, he made a comment. He said, "The coach has been running the hills with us. It does build that trust. He's still got his running legs. So he loves training and getting amongst all the boys. Even a wrestle. We were wrestling today and he got involved. It's good seeing Sammy being up against us. It's been really enjoyable. The boys respect him. I think that's exactly what you want in a coach. And he's got it."
Where are these hills?
Where was it? Where were the hills, Sam? Where were they doing it?
I tried to work that out a few times and I couldn't. I wondered whether originally they were round Appleton Reservoir, they'd run up the cut to the top of the hill.
They ran over Cantilever Bridge.
You know, the whole narrative of that Zane Musgrove comment and everything we've just said was all about the camaraderie and was our coach coming on board. But Dennis straight away comes in with, "Where are the hills?"
Well, it's true, isn't it? Bloody hell. I mean, anyway, I mean, I'm presuming that you two now are really in the Sam Burgess camp. And, you know, I mean, it's good that he went out of his way to go running with them, isn't it, Rob?
Yes. I mean, what would have been the last coach that went running with the team?
That's a good question.
Maybe
we should ask the
Brian
listener
Johnson,
who
maybe?
Phones in.
Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson. It could have been actually. That's a good. What about Daryl?
No, Daryl won't have. Can I bring a couple of things up about what Musgrove says there?
Oh, I think it meant Robbie Williams.
Two things. Number one, it sounds like Sam Burgess, with his sheer strength, physique, and relative youth, is impressing them, which is something we had said that is a bit nearer to their age than previous head coaches. The only thing that does leave me a little bit twitchy with modern day things is Sammy. Like my mate Sammy, and you don't want him to get too close. He didn't say the boss got involved.
Yeah.
He said Sammy. Yeah. And before that, I don't know what they called Daryl Powell, or at least not behind his back anyway. But before that, it was always Pricey says this and Pricey says that. Can you imagine a Nottingham Forest player saying, oh, Brian tells me to do this, or Cluffy tells me to do that?
It's not 1975, Sam. Like, we have progressed since then.
I know, but Sammy, nicknames for the boss just feel a little bit...
Really?
He's venturing into the psychology.
My lot will call me everything under the sun. It's the way we are. Moved on.
Well, when he's got to bollock one of them, he says, oh, come off it, Sammy. What am I? Ooh, bloody hell, he's smack him. You just need to be just that balance between one of the boys, but enough distance. That'd be my only concern.
Prehistoric style of management there by Mr. Sanchez.
Yes. Sir? Yes, sir. No, sir.
That drink.
What do you want me to
drink
do, sir?
Changed from beer to
nothing,
wine.
Dennis. You should have seen that. He had half a litre in that glass last week. Just kept pouring it down his throat.
Well, didn't he? Yeah. Like a magician.
Are you on board, Dennis, with Mr. Burgess?
I think I've voiced whenever we did a pod last time about it, but I am actually looking forward to seeing how he's going to get on. I am really looking forward to it. I think whenever a new coach comes in, is that, you know, from a media point of view, you see all the smiling faces and, you know, running with the team, this and the other. As I've said before, it'd be really good to see what he's going to look like when they've lost a couple of games and it's not gone his way, and how he's going to react in that situation. I think that's the only challenge for Sam Burgess, is how he's going to be able to do that, react in that sort of losing streak and where things are not going to plan.
We're not. No, think positive. We're not going to have a losing streak, Dennis. We might lose the odd one.
No, come on. Every team has a bit of a losing streak every year. It doesn't matter who you are. You have a few things, and it's how you turn that around. It's going to be really interesting because we've not had that, have we, for years? We've been shit. I mean, we win a load, and then it's like, that's it. Then arse has fell out. It's like Rob when he's been drinking, goes out. Runs at it like bull at a china shop. He's there, right up front. Everything's like going well, and then all of a sudden he's like loses, goes all lame, and falls in a cup. I'm going home now. I'm going home. I'm getting a taxi.
You know. Before we started this podcast, listener, we had a little bit of a talk about well-being, and I said I've never been happier. All I was waiting for now was illness, but financially secure, great relationship, roof over my head. You know, it's all good. I'm not getting riled by him, Sam. Can you see? I'm like a different man in season six.
Yeah,
I could see that. You were just smiling as he was wanging on. You were just smiling, weren't you?
Wanging on.
Well, talking of wangs, we've got two people who've just appeared in the waiting room.
All right.
The first one is called Elizabeth Pearwinkle. What are we? What are we thinking? Shall I let her in? Don't worry, Sam. We'll come back to the betting. I'll let her in and see what happens.
I might go and get a drink now.
Hang on. Here we go. Just say hello to Elizabeth for me. You ready? Yeah, she's coming. All in. Right. She's coming in. I've got to learn how I get rid of her quickly. If it's not who we.
Broadsword calling, Danny boy. Broadsword calling, Danny boy. Over.
Danny boy calling broadsword. Come in, broadsword. Over.
McPherson murdered, Thomas, Christensen and Barkley captured. I'm effecting entrance within the hour.
Pull out now, broadsword. Save yourselves. Over.
You must be joking. Over and out.
That is an order, broadsword. Over. Broadsword. 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 Broadsword.
Well, with a name like that, I'm sorry. It's not Periwinkle, it's Periwinkle.
Okay, I've got the person on mute, so I'll unmute.
I did see a picture.
What else she gets?
of a, like an empty car park.
We still seem to have John. You've not learnt, have you?
I'm removing John. John's gone.
John has gone.
I'm submitting him. Fortunately, I've removed Dennis and reported him. Well, Rob here. Recording after the podcast when the edit went out, was a fair bit had to go on really, because yet again we were hacked. What a clusterfuck. I mean, I think there was about 40 different people on the screen, of which some were playing harrowing porn. I can't get it out of my mind. I mean, Sam's living on his own at the moment. How is he supposed to cope with something like that? Even Dennis, who's been round Europe, has probably hasn't seen the likes of what we saw. Anyway, so after about 15 minutes of fucking about and basically having to shut down the entire podcast, we had to reset a link, which I had to invite Dennis and Sam back into. So that's where you join us back with the pod. We did then send another link out, and we had 32 people who responded to that link. I think it was about 40 in the end, but we were very apprehensive about letting anyone in. I did notice one name on the screen, a chap by the name of Mark, who I thought, I know that name, I know that surname, etc. So we let him in, God love him, turned out to be a patron. And also Chris joined us, who's a What Bevan panel member. So what you're going to hear now is just Mark and Chris. Thanks to them. Apologies for everyone else who came into the waiting room, but we didn't let in by that stage. We'd lost our nerve.
Hello.
Oh, he's back.
Dennis is back, is he?
He will be. It's a new link. He's back in a city. He's just coming in there.
Why are they always exceptionally muscly black guys?
I don't really look at it. Was it real? Was it a real person or was it like a fake person?
Oh, I've no idea. I've got you all minimised, so I've no idea.
So what happened there was, I blocked you by mistake rather than the black guy.
He panicked.
And then I nearly reported you. I was about to click
nearly
report.
Nearly reported me.
It was said, do you want to report this person? I was like, yes. And then I was like, oh, it's Dennis. So,
which one was it? Was it Elizabeth Periwinkle?
Oh, dear. We won't put this episode out, will we? We'll just put this one can just go on the showroom floor, cutting floor, and then in about 100 years, in 100 years' time, you know, like the Beatles suddenly found that. Oh, is he muted? Oh, he's muted. Is it? Well,
I don't know if I'm or not.
Oh, here he is.
Hello.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
How are you, Mark? You're good?
I'm not too bad, thanks.
That's the way. That's
I was expecting way. A screen full of people.
Well, we had a few problems last time, Mark, you could say that. And consequently, we're letting one in at a time. Now, we've had a harrowing experience already, so it's nice to see you joining us. Now, Sam's just bought his season ticket, mate. Are you a season ticket goer?
Yes, in fact, I'm in the Veeps lounge.
Where's the VIP lounge? Where's that?
Is that it's,
the...
not, it's, it's in the north stand, so you there's a like a bar in there, right. So you don't get any food or anything like that, but then you get like a seat. We're just not far behind the home bench, really, just like to the side, so you can you can usually see all the arguments going on at the bench.
Is it still based, Mark, about a 30 to 40 meter line towards the away fans, and then you come through underneath the crow's nest thing to your seats? Is that how it's done?
Yeah, we don't come through that door. We come through the doors a bit further along. We're sat right at the end, at the aisle, so we're sat at about the 40-metre line.
Yeah.
Perhaps good. A little bit more. And about three rows back from the back of the bench.
Yeah,
so
very good.
You could quite easily throw your beer at the bench if you wanted.
So what we need then, Mark, is you're now our pitch-sized reporter. Oh, he's drinking wine as well. I like this guy already.
Yeah.
You can be our pitch-sized reporter and you can report back how often Sam swears at the players.
Well, he'll be up in the box, won't he?
Dennis, Sam's turned into Graham Norton. Look at him. He's flying along. He's on his own. Yeah, I'm enjoying this. Yeah. What's the artwork behind, Mark? It's a little bit Salvador Dali. It's very, very right-angly, isn't it? Is that a series of... The same artist?
Yeah, it's three prints. It's about Giro d'Italia, Tour de France and Vuelta a España. So there's a bike art.
Oh, gee.
Option cycling.
So first game you went to watch, mate, when was the... Do you remember that one was? He's put his head in his hands now.
It's a very long time ago. It'd be in the 70s.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I can't remember. I used to stand in the railway and some or the railway corner down near the front. When
Was the disabled the three wheeler down there at the time? Remember that light blue?
That was on the other corner next to Snookers.
Yeah, the little Robin Reliant, the blue one. Someone used to come along in that every week. That was 70s.
But yeah, that was on the opposite side of the pitch though, because that was on the Snookers side, wasn't it? I was in the dead narrow corner where the railway line went past.
Oh, so underneath still on the touchline.
Yeah,
right.
So, well, pretty much on the corner.
What? Why did you stand there?
I was only little, so I'd probably been about 9 or 10 when I first started going. Used to walk there with my brother. We used to live in Drapnall then.
Right, about 45-minute walk. Quite good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Right. So, are you positive about the season? I mean, you know, we've had a bit of a sort of ups and downs over the last, well, since you started going, really. Let's face it. I mean, you know, would you walk from Grapnell to the Halliwell Jones to watch Sam Burgess's team?
I'd give him a chance. Yes, I think this could be a decent team this year. I'm interested to see how this goes. It could go. I think it's either going to be really good or spectacularly bad. And I'm hoping for the really good side.
So you're like everyone else, a bit indifferent. No one seems to sort of understand where they're coming from. And we're all waiting, aren't we? That's kind of what it's
like. I was asked, we talked about this today on WhatsApp. And I see us fourth or fifth, really. I'm not sure I can see us above fourth yet. Because I think we've got a couple of questions on that. But equally, I don't see us being that far down. I think we're our squad looks a lot better than... There's some not great squads out there, I think. I think we look better than that. But we've got questions, haven't we? I think it's prop depth and a half-back is my worry.
So I watched a clip, I think I put it up on Twitter actually yesterday, of I think it was 1988, the Great Britain versus Kangaroos game. I think it was in Sydney, the final test, when we won. Yeah. And I know the game has changed, and you know you can't really compare the two possibly that easily now. But Andy Gregory is taking on the line. You know, he's getting offloads from Ward, Waddell. I think Mike Gregory offloads one to him at one point, and he's constantly looking for runners. He's nearly getting his head taken off because he's so close to that Australian line. What do you think with Drinkwater? What's wrong, Mark? He's not taking on the line, or he just goes to sleep, or
he's too passive. I think he doesn't inject himself in the game enough, does he? I don't think he almost like waits for it to come to him rather than the halfback should be demanding the ball all the time, shouldn't he? He should be wanting it. He should have an idea. He should be thinking, organising all the other players. And it just we don't seem to have that.
But do you think the game's changed?
I think the fact it's gone to summer, it's a lot faster, isn't it? The players are a lot fitter. Defences are better. When Andy Gregory was playing, you could tell by looking at the players pretty much what position they were going to be playing. Whereas yes. I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore, is it?
So we've got all the centres back now. It's just a case of that. We've not really got more than one strike prop in Vaughan and a scrum half that's sort of a bit lackadaisical in his approach to playing.
Yeah, Musgrove's an unknown quantity, isn't he?
Yeah. Mark, you said passive. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think Drinkwater has got the skills and the ability, and I just wonder whether he's a bit too comfortable, might be the wrong word, but a bit too comfortable allowing Williams to be the dominant one. Whereas you said a scrum half should say, no, give me the ball, I want it as well. And yet he seems a bit passive and says, I'll just do it when it comes to me.
The other thing, I'm not that big a fan of this left and right halfback thing either. I think it limits you too much, especially if one's a better halfback than the other, then the defence knows, really, on key plays, you know it's going left when we've got it. Whereas I'd rather halfbacks played, or I think it was different back, you said about the Gregory days. Used to stand off in the scrum half. Used to be like the first and second receivers, weren't they? And they'd be whichever side of the ball went. They would be that side.
So are they all doing that now? Like, is anyone not doing that? I mean, when I watch Penrith, Cleary seems to have his hands on the ball all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Penrith are one of the teams that do play that play a more traditional halfback thing, where they both play on both sides.
We've got Chris with us. I've let Chris in. The reason I've let Chris in is because he's a Patreon and also... you go, Mark. God bless you.
Hang on. You want to be careful here. He's got a red curtain behind him. I'm already suspicious of this one.
I don't know if he's on mute. Can you hear us, Chris?
Can you?
How you going, mate? You're good?
Yeah, very good.
We've had several incidents with letting people in. We had 18 people in the waiting room and it didn't go well. Let's put it that way. So, but thankfully Dennis is editing this episode, so we'll be fine. I'll send you the tapes later, Dennis.
Yeah. I can't hear Chris's voice very well. He's not very loud for me.
Pardon?
Yeah. Can you turn your mic up?
Is that any better?
I
don't know what it's like for everyone else.
A little faint.
If only we could swap it around and get Chris a bit louder and we could just mute Dennis, that'd be excellent. Be really
yeah,
happy with
that'd
that.
Be a good idea. While Chris is just having a look at that, I want to go back to Mark and say, right, Mark, you've come out with all that now. What makes you, a legitimate voice for a Warrington fan then? So you've been watching them, you know, all the home matches and away matches for the past few years?
30
years,
at
least.
An
armchair supporter? Or, you know, what's your background and, you know, the pain that you've been through?
As I said, I've been going for years, from back in the Wilderspool days. And then I suppose my most avid watching time was the what I still consider the best years we ever had, which was when we had Boyd and Gregory and the likes of that. That was my favourite team we've ever had.
Yeah.
And then we used to go home and away pretty much to most games on that one. Now, I've been a season ticket holder for quite a few years, on and off, really. And then, like I said, been that Veeps lounge for this will be a second year in that.
How do you think that Boyd team would have gone, Mark? If you moved it forward to 2020, I mean, Boyd wouldn't last on the field long, would he? He'd be suspended the whole time. Think of those fights he had with Sonnen.
He was then.
Yeah. He was, to be honest, wasn't he? But
yeah.
Around that time, we had so many good players.
The thing is, he was skillful, wasn't he? He was just a big bloke who could hand it out. He could play as well, and he was quicker than he looked.
Kevin Tamati to Les Boyd. Oh, beautiful double from Boyd, and what a try! Well, doesn't that just put the seal on the victory?
Right, come on. Let's get Chris in. Chris, right, we're going to put you on the spot now. We asked the guest the question. I want you to tell us what's your burning one thing that you want to talk about, Warrington.
This is around Burgess and this maybe short-term strategy he's got of trying to buy a winning culture, getting King and Powell from Wigan. The best coaches and managers always have a good number two, good assistant. If you look at, you know, go back to football and Clough Taylor, Ferguson, and all the number twos he had. And so
Don't bring up Clough, Chris. Sam's been going on about Clough and his management strategy for about half an hour. I've already told him he's still living in the 80s.
So it's not just about Burgess, it's about Gleeson and, you know, the coaching stuff around him. And then it's also what he's on a 2-year contract. So is there a plan already in place after 2 years if it goes well and he goes back, or if it goes wrong and he leaves earlier? And is this just a, have we gone from a marketing gimmick to now a coaching gimmick? Because you know, go from Smith to Price to Powell, and then to somebody who's got no coaching experience at all. You got to, you know, he's got to build a coaching team around him, because as I say, it's not just the one man that does it all, and that's going to be key. But already I'm thinking, is there a plan before the 2 years or just after 2 years? Because this is a huge, huge gimmick risk. I'm hoping it pays off like everybody else, but you know, if you're a gambling man, you think, yeah, you might wing it for 2 years, but you know, long term, what do you think?
If you look at St Helens, I think St Helens are possibly in Super League, at least the nearest thing to this with Sam Burgess, because St Helens installed Ellery Hanley a few years ago, and for 18 months, maybe 2 years, it worked brilliantly and they won it, and then it unravelled. Then they went with Kieran Cunningham, another superstar legend of theirs. I know Sam Burgess isn't a legend of our club, but they went with Cunningham. That didn't work, and now they've gone with Wellens and it's almost worked for them. So I suppose there is a precedent, but it's whether the force of character and the respect they have for that individual, because he's been there, done it. And then it's about exactly what you said, Chris. What's his backup team around him? Well, Gleeson's been there, done it, and when he was playing for us, he'd have never said he'd have become a successful coach, because he was, you wouldn't have thought coaching was really him, but he's been around a few successful teams. And I suppose what Gary Chambers' role will be as well, in terms of that backroom managerial stuff, away from just the day-to-day on the pitch or on the training pitch, where I'm sure Burgess will say, no, do it this way. Give me the ball, I'll show you. Because he's still young enough to do that, isn't he?
Yeah, I think the other layer on this is that those scenarios in certain clubs where they've got a winning culture, where maybe in the intervening years...
It's already there, yes.
Yeah, and that's where that comes back to the point of maybe getting King back, getting Powell in. Another Powell, trying to bring some of that recent winning culture from a club that has got years of it. And we're putting Burgess into a scenario where, you know, this isn't an intervening period where we haven't had success. As we all know, you know, we're all looking for the Holy Grail. So there's no real winning culture. And last season, was there even a good culture in the club that you can fall back on? And I'm just hoping, you know, I'm quite hopeful of Powell. I think he's a good addition. He's not a wow signing, but he'll bring something that we haven't got. I'm actually a little bit less excited about the signings this season than the start of last season. You know, when we're looking for a big pack and we had, you know, we looked at Dudson, Cassiano, you know, even Drinkwater came in. It felt like we were building something. I think we've lost more and we haven't recruited as strong the new season.
I'm not convinced we've lost that much. I think most of the players that have gone, you kind of like, well, would you keep them? Maybe for depth, but I think it's not really McKaylee, I think, that's the glaring omission. I'd love to have kept hold of him, because I think that when we had started with him and Vaughan,
got on a roll,
just running, because it would have taken three or four men to bring him down each time, and then that was creating space off the back of that then. I think that's why we got off to that flying start. And then when he went back, well, when he went to Australia, we seemed to fall down a bit, but
He was the one punching the holes, wasn't he?
Yeah. And hopefully Musgrove can do some of that.
Not sure he can, though, Mark. Like, what, having watched him, he reminds me a bit of... who's the lad that we had that went off to Salford, the big lad? Islander. You know, only a few years ago. Akawala, was it? What was his name?
Oh, yeah.
The
one
that we had. All right, yeah.
You know, he comes onto the ball incredibly strongly, but then he kind of needs a breather for 5 minutes. Whereas McKaylee seemed to get fit and he was strong in the tackle, McKaylee, wasn't he? And then that quick play of the ball, you know, he's got the ball down on the ground quickly and off the go.
Yeah.
Not sure if he's the same player, this one. I mean, you just get who you can get hold of these days. You know, we're no longer playing, you know, we're playing summer rugby now. Back in the day when you're getting the likes of Boyd, you know, Roach, Davidson, all these guys that came in, we wouldn't have had them had our season been running in parallel with the Winfield Cup. Fortunately, it seems that Burgess is the right man for the job in terms of bringing the dressing room together and them all being frightened of him. And we've had a 30-year gap between Boyd and this happening again. But he doesn't seem to have the forward pack or a half-back to win it. Is that the conclusion?
Well,
that's what it looks like. Outside of Vaughan, I think our props look lightweight,
yeah,
or small.
I agree, Mark. I agree.
Or not fit into one, two cases.
It'll be intriguing to see how well Clark goes behind a big pack at Saints. You know, are they going to shave a couple of years off him? The fact that now he's gone there and he doesn't quite have to graft in the same way as he did at Wire, or there'll be more room for him on the park. That'll be intriguing to see. Your starting centres, Mark. Who would you go with?
King and I don't know how good this tie is going to be. I saw a bit of him playing in that Pacific Cup thing.
Yeah,
and I think that you posted a clip, and that pretty much sums up his game. I think he just runs around trying to really knock people's heads off. From what
yeah,
I saw.
He does. Yeah, he's a loose guy.
And I think a decent attacking team will take him apart.
You wouldn't start. Are you a Wrench fan? Wrench seems to split the room.
I did quite like Wrench, and I think he was on his way back from a long-term injury, wasn't he? So I think he should be back and going well this year. He brings pace, doesn't he? And he knows how to beat a man, and he understands lines. But I think, as you've said on air, I wouldn't be that averse to Curry playing there. I'm not sure I want to see Nicholson at loose forward at his age. I think I'd rather see him stay second row. I think he played quite well out there. He's another one that he seems to understand running lines.
Yeah.
And he can pass.
Centres?
Yeah, I'd go King, and I'd go if Curry can be a proper centre. I felt last year Ashton was doing a lot of the Curry work and Curry was just standing around. I think with Wrench, if Wrench can develop in the same way Ashton develops, you know, he seemed to, you know, really bulk up and really get stuck in last season compared to the previous season. I think he's physically, he improved. I think Wrench is the physical. Is he big enough? He's quick enough. Decision making. I don't know. He strikes me a bit of a Thewlis. You know, he'll chuck himself about, but has he got? Has he got the decision-making, you know, part to him? But he's still learning, you know, another year and he'll develop further on. So I don't think we're particularly strong, are we, in centres? We've got some options. We've got some cover.
To me, it looks better than last year, though.
Yeah, it's a lot better than last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's options, isn't there? I think Connor, I don't think Wrench has really had a fair crack at the whip yet. I mean, he got ankle tapped, was it at Wakefield in that game a few years ago?
Yeah.
And Powell was talking him up and saying, well, you know, we didn't expect anyone to catch him when he went through. And then he got that injury and he never really got his chance again. He almost was got put back 12 months. So I'm quite optimistic that Wrench is going to make a very good centre, because you can't beat pace. There's nothing better than pace. And as Mark said, he runs good lines. And he's got to be a better option than Ratchford, hasn't he? I mean, apart from Ratchford kicking goals for fun, much going on with Stephen Ratchford these days.
I think the thing, Rob, is both Ratchford, you know I'm a big Ratchford fan, of course I am, or was. I still am, but he's like 97 now.
You know when you say the word Ratchford, do you press like a button, a play button on a recorder? Because you say that every time. It's like your standard caveat. I know I'm a big fan of Ratchford. Okay. You say it every time.
And I know I'm a big fan of Curry. There's another one.
Yeah.
But both of them are cracking on now. And I feel that both of them, I mean, Mark made the point about Curry at centre. I feel both of them, if 6 or 7 years ago someone had said, I want you to play centre and I want you to develop over these next 12 months as a centre, they could have both been outstanding centres, but neither of them at their age now have got the pace that Conor Wrench has got. And Toby King is big, strong, should be consistent, but he's not got great pace either. So if we put Ratchford or Curry at centre, we'd be lacking pace there. Conor Wrench's difference, which is what you said earlier, Rob, is you can't substitute pace. You've either got it or you've not. You can't learn that first 5 metres off the mark. And Wrench has got that compared to the others. Don't know about Ty. Don't know enough of him to see whether he's got it.
He's quick, but he's a penalty machine. Mm. Are you still awake, Dennis? You're just a silhouette.
Oh.
What are you doing? Reading War and Peace?
My question for the guests are, this is to the, I'm going to start with this question. Mark, what would you normally be doing on a Saturday night other than attending on this thing?
I don't know, actually. Sometimes I'd be out. I got invited out tonight, actually, but I turned it down because I wanted to see this.
I didn't expect
as much as I am, but I thought I'll have a listen in.
Well, I'm glad I've let you in, because there's 24 people in the waiting room and I'm not letting any of them in because we've had such a disaster tonight.
Yes.
So I apologise. I knew Chris's name on the screen, so I've let Chris in, and Chris was there a long time. But to everyone else, I'm putting anyone in.
What did you give up for coming on this?
There's a few people out, including my wife, down at the London Bridge. So I could have been in there having a few pints.
We had a pint there, Dennis, didn't we? When I came over last time, didn't we have a pint at the London Bridge?
Yeah. How much is it now for a pint in the London Bridge?
I'm trying to look. I usually have a tab and then I just sort of blindly pay at the end.
All right. Hey, up, Sam.
Because I can get that because two of me, my eldest and my youngest sons both work there. Well, my eldest.
So is that what would Brian Bevan say tab that we can have going there now, and you'll sort it out for us? Excellent. Okay. Chris, what would you normally be doing on a Saturday night, and now you're appearing on this pile of shite?
Curtain.
I know.
Yeah. It's like the Wizard of Oz, isn't it? I don't normally go out, family man now, but there is the Hacienda revival at the Warehouse Project in Manchester. Ian Brown is there and a few big names. So
is it in the same spot?
The Warehouse Project in Manchester.
The Hacienda, is it exactly the same place where it used to be?
No. The Hacienda has been luxurious apartments for about 25 years or more.
Oh, more than that. Yeah, more than that.
Do you want to join the Alan London bandwagon and put Josh Thewlis at scrum half? It was the first time it was mentioned. He came out with that last week. He reckons he can see a gap. He can
used to play halfback as an amateur. Again, nice. I've seen him play a few times in coming through the junior ranks, because he's in the same age group as my eldest son, so he used to play against him sometimes.
Right.
And he used to absolutely dominate games. But it's the other standard wasn't as obviously what it is now. I'm not sure I see him as a scrum half, to be honest.
We've been talking about scrum half, and last week and this, we've not mentioned young Hayes. I know he's only 4'2", but we've not mentioned Hayes. He is your other option.
Not quick enough.
Definitely. Definitely.
If you're small, you've got to be quick. If you're going to be small...
Not that slow, you know. I've seen him play quite a lot of games in the academy, in the reserves.
Think he's got a yard of pace in him?
Mm-hmm. He's no slouch. Mm. And he tackles better than you expect him to, but I worry whether he's big enough.
But then you look at him compared... I mean, Langer would have been... I mean, I know Langer was a bit of a genius on the ball, and again, a different era. What about the lad that used to sit next to the heater? What was his name? Tyrone Roberts.
Yeah.
Was he similar size to Hayes?
I'm going to see if I can find stats on the internet.
Why do you like him, Chris? Anyway, why do you like Leon Hayes?
I've put a few times in the panel WhatsApp group, I've mentioned him, because I think he brings something completely different. It's not so much what he can do for us, it's the problems he gives to the opposition. I think in rugby league, he can pretty much line up man for man. He is the joker in the pack, and he's not going to get any taller, and they know that, and yet they still put him in. I think he needs to be given a chance, because when he's had a chance against St. Helens, when he was in, he was in quite a limited role, but then he was given a bit of license to be creative, and things started to move around. Mm. And he has got a bit of quickness about him, purely because of his size. He can duck under guys.
Yeah,
he's a great kicker. Well, he's played a few games, but his kicking was pretty good. He is tough. He doesn't get balled over. And like I say, they wouldn't stick with him if he didn't have all the other qualities, barring the obvious one. So to me, he is something different that you can... He's an impact player. You can bring him on, and all of a sudden, those big packs on the other side, it's something different to worry about. And I don't think...
Tacklebag's idea number 147, you can't get taller. Height accelerator, which are new boots which can elevate a player by 6 inches. So thanks for that, Chris.
I'm not much taller than him, so I'm batting for him anyway. So,
googling Alan Langer and Leon Hayes, who is the taller? Rob.
Langer was 5'3.5", and I'll say Hayes is 5'3".
So you're saying Langer, Dennis.
Langer.
Mark.
I've never stood next to it. I've seen Langer fall out of a car trying to get to the chip shop, but he missed, go to the Stockton Friar.
Excellent.
And they couldn't understand what he was asking for. I would have said Langer was a bit taller.
Chris?
I've spoken to Leon Hayes quite a lot of times.
Yeah, full house Langer, I think.
Okay. They're exactly the same, both 1.65 metres.
Mark, I went to watch the Youth Academy play down at Mascot a few weeks ago. And they played West Ham. Oh, were you there, mate? Did we chat?
No. I didn't see it. I wouldn't have known what you looked like until now, anyway. So I wouldn't. But I didn't. I saw you posting stuff. I posted about you should do. You should follow the tour around and do a pod about it. But
where's where were you? Whereabouts were you?
I was on the opposite side to the dugout. There's some trees
over
right
there.
Side.
Right over
I've
there
done
in
that
the
now.
Shade. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
On the grassy knoll over there.
Yeah.
I was chatting to a lot of people and probably wasn't paying too much attention to the game, but they looked quite structured to me. They looked like they had a good sense of what they were about. I mean, at times they dropped a few balls, and I couldn't quite work out how many players. It was Souths they played, wasn't it? Couldn't quite work out how many players Souths brought on and how many they took off, etc. But they seemed to have quite a good game plan. It was quite basic, but ball went up in the air and came down with snow on it on the fifth tackle. just seemed a little bit more in line with each other than the first team, I thought, at times. They looked a bit more of a unit than, you know, that sort of discombobulation you get with the first team. What do you think?
Yeah, they did. I thought they played pretty well across that whole tour, actually. My other son, just bring that in, plays for the academy. He played in that game, so I've obviously watched him a lot the last couple of years. He's now going to reserves.
They
play pretty well. They stick to a game plan. They all seem to know the roles, and they get on with it. I think they haven't got the egos, and they're all still trying. They'll probably do what the coaches say more than first team players might, who might think, well, you know, I'm a big name here. I can do what I want. Whereas all this lot are all trying to impress, and you know, if they get dropped, then the chances are they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Why don't we ask Mark and Chris what you asked last week? Are we going to progress with Burgess or regress with Burgess?
We're going to progress.
Yeah.
Broadly positive with Burgess.
I think last year you could tell there was a split in the camp. Some players wanted Darryl out. You could see that.
Yeah.
It was marked how some players improved when Gary Chambers took over. He seemed interested again and started playing.
Yeah.
And I think it'll all be like that for Burgess. And that's only good, isn't it?
So what do you think is going to happen, Mark? Because this lot, I don't think, they'll all be good on the first day at school, you know. But at some point, they're going to turn up away at, you know, wherever they're going to go, Castleford or somewhere. And we're going to have a classic day over the Pennines, aren't we? I mean, you've watched Warrington for 40 years. We know it's coming. We can be world beaters one week against Saints, and then all of a sudden, 7 days later at Huddersfield, we're 20 points down by half time. Mr. Sankey gets annoyed and comes home and says he's never going again. So it's inevitable. It will happen. What's Mr. Burgess going to do? Is he going to pat them all on the back and be out singing Robbie Williams songs with him, or is he going to pin one up against the dressing room?
Well, you'd hope him being there would stop some of these happening in the first place, I think. I'm hoping that the attitude he'll be looking to bring is going to be the antidote to that. And I think they're going to be pushed harder in training than they were under Powell. And you can already see that, I think, from the pictures of the stuff they're releasing.
What, you mean like running up them hills, Mark? Where are these hills that they're running up?
Darsbury. Yeah, they're behind Darsbury Labs.
Oh, okay. Oh,
well, behind Darsbury Park.
Yeah.
My lad goes out there with some of the other academy lot. So
Keswick Lane or something, isn't it? Kendrick Keswick Lane or something?
Can we get a shot of them running up the hill as Fiddler's Ferry gets demolished in the background? That'd be a metaphor for the season.
Dad, I'd like that. According to my ordnance survey, it's only a 200-foot elevation around Darsbury. So that's fuck all, isn't it, in terms of hills?
Well, no, they can choose whether or not they're going to, how much effort they're going to make, because they've got a time to complete it. Therefore, it's whether or not they're going to sprint or jog up and jog back down. Yeah. Whether they can sprint up and walk down or what, you know.
I bet that singing was done on the first go up, not on the fifth.
Fellas, I'm going to have to go because I've got the little one. She's just recovered from COVID and we're going Christmas shopping. So
excellent.
she's itching to get out. Thanks for joining us. Good. Apologies for everyone who we've kept in the waiting room. They're still coming in. James Randall is the last one that's just come in. He sounds all right, doesn't he?
He sounds okay.
I'm not risking that. Mm. Not risking that. Not risking that. So have a good year, lads. I think we can sort of conclude that we're all sort of
pessimistic.
Slightly positive.
Sorry.
I'm more positive than I was last year.
Yeah, it's something different, isn't it? Let's face it. So it'll be what it'll be, and we'll wait and see.
I would have preferred the first, when they met the option A when they went for Holbrook. I'd have liked that. But
yeah.
This could be interesting.
Very indifferent season by everyone, wouldn't you say? Mm. That's where we're going to be. Mm.
I think the consensus is, though, listening to those two chaps, is that everybody has this air of excitement because of this so much uncertainty around Sam Burgess and the, you know, like, you know, he's not got the experience, but yet there is a bit of excitement. So, yeah.
How many minutes are we giving it on WhatsApp during the first game before that disappears?
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Yes, we're on to predictions. First of all, Wilder Spulina.
It's Wilder Spulina here. Firstly, may I thank everyone that sent me fan mail. It was greatly appreciated, and my PA Hal will respond to each and every one of you. Although, Derek from Longford, who sent me a dick pic, has been blocked. I'm really not into hairy button mushrooms. Now then, on to my prediction. The 2024 Super League Grand Final will be contested between St. Helens and Wigan, with the winner being Wigan.
Well, she's gone for a Saints-Wigan final and Wigan to retain the title. I mean, nothing that we didn't already know.
No,
Sam. Another point we should point out is, where's Hal Dennis? We're a bit worried what she's done with Hal. She's brought Hal on as a PA, but is he in your camper van? Where is he?
Yeah, still in the camper van, but obviously I've not been in it for a while. So
it'd be frozen over.
I know. Yeah, it's a bit worrying, isn't it? But here you go.
Can you go past Saints and Wigan as a final?
Yeah, I don't think Wigan are going to do that well this year. I really don't.
Really?
But yeah, I think I've got a funny feeling that it's going to be Saints Warrington.
Ooh.
Yeah. See. What's up, Rob?
I'm just starting to worry a little bit. I'm just starting to worry that this Burgess magic is just going a bit too far now.
I feel I've had a bottle of wine and I think it's working.
I feel it's Kevin Keegan. You know, we'll get some excitement, we'll get a buzz, but just not when he comes up against, I know it's Matty Pete, but when he comes up against Shane Warne, just not quite have it. It just falls short.
I mean, Rob, do you think Sam Burgess will make it to the end of the season?
Oh yes, yeah, he will.
Well, yeah, no. But Rob's look—he's rubbing his legs. You can see him rubbing his legs, so he's obviously stressed with this.
I'm not changing my tune. Sorry, guys. I'll go Wigan Saints final as well with a Wigan victory.
Okay, I'm saying Wigan leads. Leeds have got an awful lot of players, but I think he'll meld them together. An awful lot of changes, but I'm saying Wigan Leeds.
Have they signed that bloke that came on the screen when we let the first person in?
I tell you what, he looked like he'd done some weights, didn't he?
Rowan Smith, he'll be gone by Easter.
Yes, he's on dodgy ground.
Borough Town.
Okay, that's it. If we recover from the phone-in, we'll be back next year or maybe next week. I mean, it's very late.
I was going to say, what I meant to ask at the beginning of this podcast, why are we doing this podcast? And the only reason is because Rob's got fuck all else to do. So he said, let's do a podcast.
That's very true. Very true. Very true. Okay, so until then, it's a goodbye from Sam.
Ta-ra.
A so long from Dennis.
We're seeing you.
And I'll see you later from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Didn't you think that Mark lad looked a bit like Les Boyd? The places where
we go. Yeah. I was too focused on Chris's curtain. Cause I have been told.
that salvation lets their wings unfold. So when I'm lying in my bed, thoughts running through my head, and I feel that love is dead, I'm loving angels instead. And through it, oh, she offers me protection, a lot of love and affection, whether I'm right or wrong, and down the waterfall, wherever it may take me, I know that life won't break me. When I come to call, she won't forsake me.
This last read the crunch ball. Oh dear. Well, a magnificent break of 74 there by young Jimmy White.